If your child is going to junior church, three-year-old through kindergarten, they can get up and head over there now, and you can pick them up in room 103. In case you don't know me, my name's Tim Malone. I'm the family ministry director here. And this is a great place to work with teenagers. I am so thankful for the support, all the support that the church gives to our teens. And teens, you are blessed to have this church. They love you. They do so much for you. So, Maestro, can we get a few? Here we go. So, there's our five interns that we had this summer. Just a wonderful program. Yeah. They work so hard for us. Most of them have gone back to school, but there's a couple still around. So that's how the summer always starts. And then in June, that didn't come out too well, but that's Victory Jam. We were the green team, as you can see, and that's a middle school camp, a big highlight of our summer. And we did come home with the trophy this summer, in case you're wondering. Yeah, all right. Don't clap it. Okay, now. And then Bible school, always another big, big event of our summer, just a lot of fun, very successful there. And then from Bible school, we went straight to Pittsburgh. The team did so great. I'm so proud of them. They worked so hard. They did everything that was asked of them. Here we are after we cleaned up a homeless site. I don't know if you saw the video on Facebook. It was disgusting. And the students did such a great job. I'm very proud of them. And onward, I snuck a little week in there for family vacation, too. That's my nieces, my nephews, and my parents in the middle there. Oh. And then Water Day was a big success for Urban Promise, another big thing Cornerstone did this summer. I wasn't even here. Rachel Neal and her team ran that. I was so thankful for them. And then we closed out the summer with high school going to Harvey Cedars and Big Beach Weekend. So just lots of great opportunities for our teens and for us. Thank you, church, for your great support for them. So onward, we're going to go to Jonah chapter 2 today. Billy started last week, and he'll be back next week. He's on vacation to discuss chapter 3. And I entitled this More Than a Fish Story. And first of all, I'm just thankful to be able to be up here because I've just been so blessed preparing this week. Maybe we should just take turns and everybody gets a chance to prepare a sermon, because you really get into the scripture when you do. But it is more than a fish story. But let's address the elephant in the room first, or the whale in the room, whatever you want to say. Tim, did this really happen? Well, Tim thinks it did. You know, if God can raise Jesus Christ from the dead and do the miracles that he's done, then he certainly can send a fish to swallow a man and keep him alive for 3 days. That's how I read it. You know, how you read this really influences how you see the rest of the Bible. So I'll leave that for you to decide. But I chose this title because a lot of us, even when I was talking to my daughter, oh, Jonah, everybody knows. Why even do a study on Jonah? Everybody knows a big fish, you know. But it's so much more than a fish story. It's a story about God's amazing grace and his message to us about his grace. And I think that is definitely worth talking about and investigating. So let's turn in your Bibles. If you have it, it's up here on the screen. We'll get into the book of Jonah. Let me pray. Father, we are so thankful you gave us your word. It's hard to understand, God, how you can do amazing miracles like this, and then in the next minute, terrible tragedies can happen. And it's hard to figure that out. But Lord, your grace is greater, and I ask this morning that you would be so gracious to us that you would allow us to know your grace more and more in our lives. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to start with the last verse of chapter 1, and then we'll go into chapter 2. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said,
In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Jonah's rescue, Jonah's turning to the Lord, begins with the Lord. In other words, God's grace in your life begins with God taking action. God sent the storm to Jonah, and he also sent the whale. That whale was swimming from far away. We got the storm, we got the whale, we got Jonah, and he swallowed up. It was appointed by God. It was part of God's plan to rescue Jonah. And you're like, Tim, that's pretty crazy, a whale. And you know what? I was thinking, God uses crazy methods to get our attention. I was thinking about my life. I failed college. I failed life. I got involved with drugs and alcohol. And guess what? God used that to rescue me. That's even more incredible than a fish, I'm telling you. Amen, right? God can use anything and will use anything to do whatever needs to be done to rescue us from our sin and from ourselves. It's so great. He can use success. He can use failure. He can use family. He can use death. He can use ruin. He can use blessing. He might even use this sermon. That's how crazy and wild God is. All the events that are taking place in your life are a means of Him drawing you to His amazing grace. And in Jonah's case, and maybe my case too, we can call this a violent grace, a severe grace. And it is that way because guess what? We get way too comfortable with sin. We really do. I mean, think about it. There's things that we used to get upset about that we even have the thought. And now, we do the action. We don't even care. Marriages that start biblical love 15, 20 years later, it's a war zone. What happened? Things that used to just irritate me, I explode in anger now. What happened? I'm getting comfortable with my sin. You know, I think that's why I like working with teenagers. They've only had to get comfortable with sin with like 15, 16 years. I've had 50 years to get comfortable with sin. You know, my sin is way worse than theirs. And I know some of you are like, you haven't met my teenager yet. But it's true. The longer we live, sin can just get in there. And we can be comfortable with it and not even think it's a big deal. It's not a big deal. You know, what did Billy say about the bachelorette person? You know, I had sex with a man and assault in a windmill, and Jesus still loves me. You know, what she's saying is, I'm very comfortable with doing whatever I want because I know God still loves me. That's not grace, my friends. That's a great misunderstanding. So what God has to do is he has to interrupt us. He has to come and violently bring grace into our lives to get our attention. We all have the capacity to be comfortable with what God says is wrong. We all have the capacity to be comfortable with what God says is wrong. Are you surprised by that? So God blesses us with this severe or violent grace to bring us to the end of ourselves so that we might run to him, because that's where life and that's where blessing is found. And even as I'm speaking this morning, God might be sending a great fish for you, or a giant bird, or a storm, or failure, or a puppy, I don't know, to break you of your sin so that you might know his grace. So have you let yourself get comfortable with sin? And are you doubting his goodness? Because right now you are experiencing the pain of his rescuing grace. Thank him for the work he is doing. So Jonah is suffering this violent grace, and there's a real struggle going on here for him to respond. Think about all the action that's happened up to this point. Runs away from God, gets on the ship. The big storm comes. He jumps in the water. He's under the torrent. And finally, he's swallowed up. And now he's alone in the quiet with his thoughts. And he thinks about God. All is lost, and he thinks about God. Now, I think some people will be like, well, Tim, that's easy to pray when everything else is lost, and you're like, hey, God, if you're there, you know, if you're real, just do something and rescue me. That is not what Jonah did. If you look on the scripture, it says, I prayed to my God. I looked to the temple for my God. Jonah already knows God, and he cries out to the God of the universe who made all things. Now, Jonah is in great distress. I wish I could describe it for you. Oh, wait. Jonah describes it for you. Okay, right here. Listen to this. He knows he's far, 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 far away from God. He is in despair. Listen to this. I am greatly troubled. From the depths of the grave, I'm in the place of the dead. I'm being swept over by great waves. I am banished from God's sight. I am surrounded by the deep. Are you getting the picture here of how desperate Jonah is? You can't get any further from God than he is right now. He's weighed down, he's afflicted, and yet he perseveres and cries out to God. He remembered the Lord. He turns to the Lord. My friends, what a great time to pray is when you are heavily afflicted. And I think about it in my life, that is probably one of the hardest times for me is to pray, because I like to feel sorry for myself. And I like to use it as a reason to do whatever I want. Well, life's not working out for me. No, when you're down in the pits, that is the time to focus and to pray. How low have you been? Can the storms you're facing be a means of his grace? Can discouragement be the right time for you to pray? And you know, here's the amazing thing about Jonah. Why was he in the pit? because of the choices he made, because he knew he disobeyed God. He knew he deserved to be where he was. Imagine that. How hard is it for you to just go tell someone, you know what, I'm really sorry I did that? That's hard to do. It's hard to admit we're wrong. Imagine how hard it is to be where you're somewhere where Jonah is, and you come back to God. God, I'm wrong. I'm suffering because of my own choices. That is really, really difficult. God had driven him away, but he returns. My question is, do you disqualify yourself from crying out to God because of what you have done or are doing? Do you think you are too far away for God to hear you? Or do you think God won't take mercy on you? Or do you say, well, I failed him 10 times, 100 times, a million times. How can I return to the Lord? Is there a limit to his grace? I don't think so. The struggle is real, folks. Can you cry out to the God in the midst of it? Now, the amazing thing is God responds. Okay? Not that he hears, but that he actually responds. God hears everything, right? Even when he's in the place of the dead, God can still hear him. But God just doesn't hear him. God responds, and he responds with grace. And he saves him. What chance does Jonah have of getting out there by himself? One in a million? One in a billion? Zero. It makes me think of that movie Dumb and Dumber. You think I still got a chance? Nobody got that? Okay. But he's got no chance. Do you understand that? He has got no chance unless God acts. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And guess what? You know what I'm going to say next. If you're tracking with me, you know what I'm going to say next. You and me have what? No chance. No, sorry. No chance to save ourselves. We can't do it. Because we're just like Jonah. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we think, yeah, but I'm not like Jonah. I'm not down that far. I didn't get off the path that much. No. We're called to put our faith in God and say, Lord, rescue us. And he will. And we know something that Jonah did not. We have the Lord Jesus Christ sent here from heaven, and he himself went down to the bottom of the sea. He was barred in by the earth and left to die. Not because he was sinful, not because he disobeyed God, but because you and I did. And the Lord did not rescue Jesus. He let him die. And some of us think, yeah, but he was God. It wasn't a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. He left perfection, perfect love, perfect bliss, perfect harmony. He tore himself away from his Father, threw himself at the bottom of the sea, barred himself in. My God, why have you forsaken me? Allowed himself to be forsaken so that we can live. So that we can be rescued. Salvation is of the Lord. praise God. He rescues people like you and me. And that's a really important thing. To understand God's grace, you have to understand that you need rescue. There's a story in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is having dinner with a Pharisee. And this woman comes in with a bottle of perfume. And she was a sinner. In other words, everybody knew she was bad. And she comes in and she cries. She cries at Jesus' feet. And her tears wash his feet. She takes her hair and dries his feet with her hair. And then she breaks the perfume and rubs it on his feet. And she's so thankful for what Jesus has done. And the Pharisee, the important guy, the guy we all want to be, is sitting there watching the whole thing, sipping his tea in disgust. We need to be like the woman. We need to understand that we need rescue. You know, a lot of us want to be the star of the story, right? I don't need rescue. I'm the star of the story. Here's how I would tell Jonah, right? Yeah, the huge storm came up, so I decided to save everybody. I jumped in the water. And as I was swimming around, I saw some seaweed. I noticed a big fish over there. So I wrapped the seaweed around myself. I made myself over, dove into the fish where I survived. Of course, it was cold, so I cut some blubber off, wrapped myself in the blubber. Then I got hungry, so I ate the raw small fish that was in there to sustain myself for 3 days. Finally, I got the idea to pound the inside of the whale to drive him crazy till he drove to shore and spit me out. Praise be to God. You see what I'm saying, guys? We don't want a full-out rescue, just a little one, because I want the glory. If you want the glory, you won't understand the grace. But here's the good news. God knows all that. He can deal with our stardom. He can handle it. He'll do what it takes because He loves us and He knows what we need. Do you need rescue? So, Jonah needs rescue. He exclaims he's rescued, and he has a little bit of an epiphany here. Idols are worthless, and those that chase idols, they forfeit the grace that God has given to them. That's in the ESV. It might be different in NIV there. But we forfeit His grace when we chase idols. We can't have both idols and God's grace. They work against each other. And as we pursue idols, they lead us away from the Lord. And the more we run after them, the further we get. This summer, the teens introduced a song to me, or maybe I introduced it to them. I'm not sure which one it was. But it's called Shallow. Right, guys? We sang that pretty loud in the van. Oh, by the way, we got a new van this summer too. Thanks. It's great. It's a big 15 passenger out there. But anyway, in the song, it's a guy singing to a girl and then she sings back. And he says, tell me something. I'm not going to sing it. I want to. Boy, do I want to. Maybe I'll show you the video later. Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world or do you need more? Is there something that you're searching? Is there something else you're searching for? And she sings back, tell me something, boy. Are you tired trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? And then later they sing, they're both longing for change. And that song just struck me because I'm like, yeah, I get that. I feel that way. I want to be happy. I want to fill that void. And Jonah has the answer. It's God. He possesses all the fullness and blessings that we need. And those who seek Him will find them. Many of our deepest longings to succeed are just ways to be for ourselves what Christ should be for us. For example, idols make us feel acceptable. You know, I'm smart. I'm rich. I'm good looking. I got it all together. I'm a good athlete. All these kind of things that we build our lives on. And we build our lives on them because why? And it makes us feel good. Right? Makes us feel important. And that's okay. It's okay to have talents and gifts. Absolutely. But you can't be building your worth on them. That takes away from understanding God's grace. And then we got the other half that are like, yeah, I'm not acceptable. I'm trash. You know, I don't fit in. What was God thinking when He made me anyway? Well, you also got it wrong. Okay? What are you using to fill the void? Have you experienced the joy of God's grace? Or are you trying to take God's grace and this and this and this and all these things of the world? Jonah himself realizes the vanity of idols. And he realizes the goodness and blessing that is in the Lord, that the Lord gives. And he shouts thanksgiving. So, bottom line, salvation comes from the Lord. He is gracious. He turns us toward Himself. He is the rescuer. He will take care of us and see us home. We can trust Him. Charles Wesley, the great preacher, writes about a night when God's grace broke into him. And here's what he wrote. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, my dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amen. The last verse there. God miraculously keeps Jonah alive for 3 days, and then he's spit on shore by the great fish. He had escaped death and is given life. And we have escaped death because of Christ, and we have been given life. God is gracious. So how are you going to respond? I have a few ideas maybe how you might respond. Some of you are just saying, Tim, I'm just too far away. You don't know what I've done. I deserve to be in prison. You're right, I don't know what you've done. But I deserve to be in prison too. All we say is cry out to the Lord, forgive me and free me. And He does the rest. Some of you are saying, Tim, look, this violent grace thing, I don't like. It's too much for me. I can't hold on. I can't even pray. The waters are drowning me. I get that. I understand. I encourage you to cry out to the Lord. Find a friend who will cry out to the Lord for you. He's doing His work. He's drawing you to Himself. Some of you are like, yeah, God's grace, I love it. Let's go. Tomorrow I'm going to get up and have my quiet time, and then I'm going to go down and serve at the shelter, and then I'm not going to sin anymore, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's how I get sometimes. I get all fired up, and I think my life is going to be completely different tomorrow. And then I wake up, and it's Monday morning. Okay, slow down, this person. Okay? Remember who God is. Remember the grace that He gives. Be thankful. Be thankful what He's done for you. And let that joy spill over to others. And then there's maybe some of you in here say, Tim, I'm good. I don't need rescue. And that's fine too. Okay? God knows what we all need. Right? For salvation is of the Lord. And He will do whatever it takes. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You that You rescue us. Thank You that life and blessings are found in You. Lord, we would ask that You would help us to understand Your grace more. It's really hard. Draw us to You. Do what it takes. That we might know You, and knowing You is knowing life and joy and blessing and goodness and fullness and satisfaction. Do Your work in us, Lord. We cry out to You.
Please stand.